The Guardian.
It's a sweltering day here in the City of Women. The children are coming out of school and small motor taxis are dropping off mothers from their morning trips to the market. It looks like any town in Colombia, but La Ciudad de las Mujeres, or the City of Women, was built solely by women displaced by the conflict here. It's the culmination of the search for a place to call home after years of suffering.
My name is Lubis Cardenas. I'm an active member of the League of Displaced Women. Right now we are in the City of Women. It has two blocks, three streets, green, yellow and red houses. We decided on these colours when we got assigned our houses. You're standing in the street La Calle Guerrero.
I'm Carrie Stewart and this month I speak to the residents of the City of Women, also the headquarters of the Liga de Mujeres Desplazadas, the League of Displaced Women, an organisation set up by lawyer Patricia Guerrero in 1999 to support the female victims of Colombia's war.
My name is Jahaira Mejia Pinto. I am a mother, a widow, and a victim of forced displacement. I was first displaced from the city of Plato in Magdalena. My mother-in-law was assassinated, and another family member disappeared, and we never heard anything about him again. Because of this, I went to the city of Valledupar with my partner and children. In Valledupar, my partner started to work as a street vendor. He sold yucca, banana, vegetables.
What happened next is a common story. Local street gangs rounded up vendors and demanded a regular percentage of their takings. With his meager earnings barely enough to feed his own family, Yahaira's partner refused. Soon after, he was shot by a group of men, three blocks from home in broad daylight. He died instantly and was left lying in the street where Jahaira found him.
I had a tremendous anxiety attack. I couldn't go out. I felt as if I were being followed. And because of this incident, I came to the city of Cartagena. At the end of 2007, I tried to return again to the city of Valledupar. But I heard that they were asking about my partner's kids, where they were, how many children had he left behind, and that made me more nervous. I had another attack, another crisis, so I came back here. And that's when my life began to improve.
Patricia Guerrero first began to work with the women 16 years ago.
The issue of displaced women seemed to be something that nobody cared about in this country. And that's how my work started with the League of Displaced Women. For the first time, we brought to light that women were the biggest victims of displacement in Colombia. We made the issue of the women visible. These women have suffered violations of all their rights, forced displacement, financial hardship, as well as sexual violence, massacres, their husbands disappearing. All types of crimes have been committed towards these women.
My name is Eveledis Almanza. I've been part of the League of Women for 16 years. I'm one of the pioneers from when the League started. I was displaced from Aguas Blancas Cesar in 1992 by armed groups. I don't know what the group was. They came to the ranch, held up everyone inside, and raped the women. I came with six children, five boys and one girl. I came here displaced by the violence. But here in the municipality of Trabaco, it happened again. They killed my daughter. I've also lost my nephew, who was killed by armed groups. Also two cousins over in Cesar. I've suffered a lot.
Jahaira remembers how confused the women were arriving in the district for the first time.
At that time, the state did not know how to deal with the victims of displacement. Women from different regions were arriving in Cartagena completely disoriented. We didn't know where to go, and this, of course, contributed more to the vulnerable state of us women who'd lost everything and were arriving with nothing. Many of us lived in very poor conditions. I would even call it subhuman. We lived in huts in muddy conditions. The roofs of the houses were made of plastic, cardboard. Our children walked about barefoot. The violence had taken everything from us except for the hope that we arrived with. After I was displaced the second time, I found out about the League of Displaced Women, which at that time was comprised of a small number of women, about 15.
In 2003, Patricia Guerrero started putting into action plans to build housing for the members of the League. She began by fundraising, lobbying international NGOs and development organisations interested in supporting the rights of women. Along with the women, she set about looking for a possible location. Eventually, they found an area of land about an hour from Cartagena in the municipality of Turbaco, Bolivar. But as Yahira recalls, the process of actually building the city put the women in danger.
On a national level, it was the first and the only organization of victims that had developed a project of this level. So that's something that put us in the eye of the hurricane. People left pamphlets here, directed at the women of the League, stating that we were nosy snitches, that we were a series of words that cannot be repeated. They painted skulls and crossbones, all of that. We received phone threats. We would be in our workshops and people on motorbikes wearing helmets would come to intimidate us. Robberies started to happen. There were threats towards the youth, towards us, murders. We lost our companion, Julio Miguel. He was the husband of one of the original members of the League of Displaced Women.
Despite the risks and the hardships, the City of Women was completed in 2007. Today, the neighbourhood has its own infrastructure, housing almost 500 people, with a school, all built by the women. The women who gained houses initially were selected by committee, and many were long-time volunteers who had been living in dire conditions.
We have demonstrated that we have the capacity to undertake a housing project. We keep fighting for more homes for our colleagues who continue to live in huts, in high-risk situations. We consider that it is one of the fundamental rights that we have as women, mothers, is to have a safe place where we can house ourselves with our children.
I'm just on my way to visit one of the first members of the League. I'm outside a beautifully kept house and the walls are a kind of deep, vibrant cerise.
My name is Celeste Ramos de Andrade. We're in the house that was given to me by Dr. Patricia in exchange for voluntary work, working with the League of Displaced Women. One day, Patricia told me, "We have selected you among the volunteers to receive a house. It's for you to have another chance at life." I felt so happy and proud. I've never had a house like this with a bathroom, water and electricity, and so pretty and dignified. Even though I'm old, I'm happy and I've regained my dignity. The walls are spring green, there's yellow and silver, and I have pink curtains. I am happy, and these are happy colours. For me, it's like a mansion, a beautiful, wonderful, lovely house. This is my patio. These are all medicinal plants. This is yerba santa, pico. This is garden grass. This is oregano. And this one is aloe vera. And here, there's space to build another room. I haven't done it yet, but there's space for it. So for now, it's the patio and laundry area. This is my husband. We met in Cesar and we came here together.
My name is Umberto Barreto.
And what do you think about the League?
Well, above all, I think that they have had very good projects and they bring great benefits to the people that need it. They've helped a lot, praise the Lord.
As I leave Celestina and Umberto's house, I have a real sense of the deep and long-term impact that this project is having. One of the main motives of the League of Displaced Women is self-empowerment through education and training, and Patricia still delivers workshops on the law and rights. At first, this was a real eye-opener for the women who had never considered that they had any rights at all.
Patricia guided our direction and told us which doors to knock on, and in that way we started to have an influence, politically. But it wasn't easy. The government was not concerned about how to restore our rights. Our rights to have land, to have a house, a space where we could live.
We felt it was important to let the authorities know that we are an organization. We had many disputes, because it was taboo for women to speak, and culturally, the men were the ones who occupied seats. Fortunately, the work we have done has allowed us to gain seats in the municipality.
And Patricia Guerrero also feels that the women are having an influence locally.
This avalanche of women, this political organization, has changed the makeup of the municipality of Turbaco. It's not only about displacement, but it brings up issues like community public services, such as water and electricity. These women are social leaders, all as a result of the forced displacement caused by the war.
But why would a group of displaced women be so threatening to the local authorities?
Eidanes, La Madrid.
In Turbaco, the authorities used to do whatever they wanted. They managed the resources and how they were used. When we arrived, we demanded to know what was available for the victims, how much was available, and how the resources would be implemented. The authorities can no longer do whatever they feel like. And there are times they take it personally. They act as though these women are a real pain. What are these women asking? These women always want something, but this is our job as an organisation, and merely as citizens of this municipality. We have the right to ask and to speak.
Eidanes and the others are also qualified to give support to others who have been displaced. They work with groups from other districts and provide counselling, as well as training them on how to get their rights. But the women are also demanding that the state takes responsibility for looking after the needs of these women. In 2006, Patricia and the League began proceedings to hold accountable those responsible for the women's displacement and for the abuse they suffered.
I started to look at their testimonies and investigating, really investigating, what had happened to them and the sexual violence they had suffered. It was then that we also found out about homicides, forced disappearances, tortures and murders.
With 159 testimonies compiled, Patricia filed the cases with the Office of the Inspector General of Colombia. When nothing was done to bring the perpetrators to justice, the League then went to the Inter-American Human Rights Commission and filed a case against the Colombian state itself.
We've been working on this claim for 9 years, and I hope that it will be brought to public attention this year.
We're just getting into a motor taxi. It's a bit like a rickshaw and a motorbike, and there's five of us and the driver. We're in the taxi because we've just received the news that the new mayor of the municipality, he's been in office for just a month. He's willing to speak to us. So the women are feeling really hopeful and excited because although they generally have a harmonious relationship with the municipality, no mayor has actually ever officially recognized them.
We're in the Turbaco Town Hall. My name is Antonio Victor Alcara Puello. I'm the mayor of this municipality. We are in the process of drawing up a 4-year development plan to see how we can work with the victims in terms of health, education, public services, entrepreneurship, employment, and to improve the living conditions of the people who have been the victims of the internal armed conflict from all over the country and who have settled in the municipality of Turbaco. The League of Displaced Women can count on us. We want to work with the League because we know that since they have been victims of the violence, they are the ones who know most about these issues. We have an obligation to assign resources from our budget to continue to improve their situation.
As we leave the mayor's office and head back to the city, it is clear that this declaration of support was an important one for Lubis and the women.
No mayor has ever talked about recognizing us or anything, ever. As he has made a commitment to recognize the work we have done, we can now follow up on this.
Here in the city, the women have established a credit fund for education and micro-enterprises. They've planted corn and beans, they have a brick factory, they have a community restaurant and they have a childcare centre. In fact, their arrival sparked a development boom, and the row of houses that make up the City of Women now sit on the edge of a larger town. But despite this, work opportunities for the women are very scarce.
Unfortunately, there's a real issue with employment in the city. The women mostly work informally, doing odd jobs, because there aren't any real jobs, not even for the young people. I have a bachelor's degree. There also isn't a lot of access to higher education, which we do have a right to. There are many barriers, such as the cost. We make a living working odd jobs, like what you can see over there, selling snacks like cookies and sweets. Others work as laundry women or do sewing work. Some as hairdressers or do nails. Others sell hair products. Many are artisans. There's a family that makes hats and bracelets.
Libis and the women also work for the League on a volunteer basis.
We are all part of a large committee where each of the leaders within the organisation has a distinct role. I work in the general organisation and in communications. Communications is one of our most important strategies because by being more visible, we feel more protected. We also have a youth league. The league consists of about 50 girls and boys. We run courses on sexual and reproductive rights. We focus a lot on the issue of reducing violence towards women. And right now we have a dream. President Juan Manuel Santos promised the League of Displaced Women that he would build a hospital for the City of Women. We're waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. It is our big goal. We don't have a good health service here. Many women have died as a result of inadequate medical resources, and we are very far from the nearest hospital.
The 2011 Victims and Land Restitution Law states that those affected by the conflict could be entitled to reparations from the government.
We have very precise documentation about the violations that the organisation has suffered on a collective level. The League is now one of the 8 women's organisations that is subject to collective reparations. So that means that there will be individual reparations for each of the victims and collective reparations for the whole community.
At the moment, the government and the guerrilla forces known as FARC are negotiating a peace agreement, but Patricia is worried that this could sideline the issue of justice for those victims of the conflict.
What I'm worried about is gender justice post-conflict. It would be a huge mistake for sexual violence issues to go unpunished. It could mean that nobody takes responsibility for the rape of women or forced sterilizations. If there isn't justice for the women, how will they be compensated? How can there be progress for women in the future in this country? The women in the organization have been threatened 7 times by the Black Eagles and ERPAC. I have been walking around with bodyguards since 2002. Women lose, not only in armed conflicts, but all the women on earth, including you, because when it happens to you, you also won't get the justice you deserve. That is a serious problem.
Lubis and all the women are understandably very proud of what they have been able to achieve. But most of all, they have immense gratitude for their mentor, Patricia Guerrero.
This is a commemorative plaque which we've decided to put in La Calle Guerrero. It says, "We thank Dr. Patricia Guerrero, founder, visionary, and creator of the League of Displaced Women, who, through her hard work, dedication, love, effort, and tireless struggle, made our dream of a life of dignity a reality, the City of Women. This stone represents all the tears and sweat. We grew here, we cried, we got up again. They wanted to end our dreams, but the dream didn't end. The dream was built. And the most beautiful thing is that we can see it, touch it, walk through it. We can meet here and find ourselves again. We've started to realize that the women in this country, we are the tireless leaders."
Thank you for listening. That's all for this month's podcast. All of our programs are available on The Guardian's website. That's theguardian.com/global-development and on SoundCloud, iTunes, and all podcasting apps. I'm Carrie Stewart. Until next month, goodbye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.